So just after all, you learned all these kind of fancy things as a toroidal complications, CM points, and dealing cosmology. I want to tell you something really very classical and very easy just for you to relax, because this will be something which has occupied the minds of people of previous generations, many previous, even more previous than my generation. So it's really the beginning of the last century and the end of the 19th century. And people thought, of course, about K3 surfaces. They didn't call them K3 surfaces. They called many of them just a concept as like quartic surfaces, or surfaces with like a PG is equal to 1. This is how Enriquez called them. And then, of course, they also looked about the in disguise about neuron severity lattice, and also asked this kind of question, when automorphic group is infinite or finite, and realizes the automorphic group by Cremona transformation. So let me just remind you very briefly something about Cremona transformation. So this Cremona transformation kind of preoccupied my mind in the past several years, and then I was invited to give a talk about K3 surfaces here. I start thinking, so how I would relate it? But of course, you know, the mathematics is great. Everything is related. So you kind of think about Cremona transformation, and you know that, of course, your old love is K3 surfaces, and you connect them. I think so Cremona transformation is a Borovshan transformation of PN. So this map is just Borovshan. So it was just called Cremona because Cremona laid the foundation. Cremona and simultaneously the Jonquière, who laid the foundation of the theory of this Borovshan transformation. So every such transformation is given in the projective coordinates by homogeneous polynomials. And so I assume that all polynomials have the same degree, and this is called the degree of Cremona transformation. It's really a little confusing for topological degree, because it's a topologically degree 1, it's Borovshan map. So like usually if you don't want to be confused, you write algebraic degree. And of course we assume that all these polynomials are mutually coprime, so they don't have any common factors of degree larger than 0. And so this map, of course, is not well defined, and so it's not defined exactly where this all zeros of these polynomials are an intersection of all these polynomials, and it's called the base locus. In fact, it's not only just set theoretically, it's a base scheme, because it automatically has a structure of a scheme, because it's like intersection of some divisors, and this could be very much different from its reduced scheme from the base locus. And this is the whole difficulty in the theory of Cremona transformation, because the base schemes of a Cremona transformation could be very, very complicated. They not be not reduced, they have embedded components, and all these kind of nasty things which you can very difficult to study, unless you're in dimension 2. In dimension 2, everything is kind of clear. So you can really analyze all base schemes of a Cremona transformation in the plane, and they kind of simply correspond to points, or maybe infinitely near points. Points you have to blow up and then blow up. But in higher dimension, this is very, very hard, and this is where know very little about Cremona transformation, starting from dimension 3, and this is kind of, in spite of work on this of many generations, 150 years, we're still just complete in the darkness. So what's the, how to describe, how to classify all Cremona transformation in higher dimension. Still very kind of interesting and very difficult subject, which kind of still have forgotten. So it's really kind of what you do, just it's just given by linear system. So you take a linear system OPND, this is all your hypersurfaces of degree D, and you take this ideal of this base locus and consider the all divisors, all hypersurfaces which pass through this base locus, and this is linear system defines you this Cremona transformation, defines the Cremona transformation. Okay, so that the problem which I want to discuss, which is so you take some variety in projective space, and usually I'll take a hypersurface. And you take the automorphous group. Real, not birational, but regular. Just take symmetry of your hypersurface and ask whether there exists a element in Cremona. So I call this the group of Cremona transformation. Okay, that's birational transformation of PN, which of course, yes, this is by definition it's called Cremona N. And I do this, all this thing is just over complex numbers, so of course, there's an interesting question in over any field. So you take your Cremona element such that just, if you take, restrict this to X, this becomes is equal to G. Somehow you assume that when you restrict to X, then you eliminate all the deterministic points. You will be able to extend it as automorphism to G. For example, if your varieties are just not, for example, this will be, of course, the most interesting case which I will consider here. It will be like, for example, this is N is equal to 3, and X is just a quartic, so this is just some polynomial of degree 4, and this is a quartic. It may have singularities, but we kind of insist that this is still K3 birationally, so just so like it's non-singular model. Is a K3 surface. So then, of course, when you restrict the Cremona transformation to your surface, you get birational automorphism of your surface. I assume that this is really restricted to birational, but of course, it's K3 surface, you can always extend to biregular automorphism of non-single model. So you really get automorphism group of your resolution of singularities. So you ask this kind of question, so when automorphism group of a quartic surface, maybe with like ordinary singularities, can be extended to automorphous group of a birational automorphous group of projective space of P3. And I ask people, but I still don't know counterexample. Maybe it's all this does. It's kind of stupid, but must be plenty of counterexamples. But so I really hope by the end of this conference somebody will tell me an example. But so far I have many examples, and every time it works, I can really extend this automorphism to Cremona transformation. But before just I do that, just let me just give you an example to warm up. So let's go back why I just started from quartic, like why not to do cubic curves, elliptic curves. So let's take a cubic in P2, right? And let's look at automorphous group of your cubic. Of course, we know what is this. So this group contains the connected subgroups. So I really assume it's smooth. But it really doesn't matter much. So it contains connected subgroup, which is isomorphic as a variety to C3, right? And this corresponds to translations by points on your cubic curve. And the finite group will be just a finite group, which is either like Z mod 2, or Z mod 4, or Z mod 6, depending on complex multiplication. So just generically, just this contains a still, does it still work? Okay. So it contains a subgroup of index 2, which is actually an elliptic curve, which is a kind of translation by the torsion. So you ask which part of this group, or maybe the whole group, is realized by Cremona transformation of projective planes. Of course, we know that, I think you all probably know that, take translation by three torsion points, it always comes from projective automorphism. For example, because you can really reduce every cubic to the Hesse form. So every cubic can be written in this form, as a Hesse form. And then, of course, the automorphism groups are obvious, and some automorphism groups come from projective automorphism. For example, multiplying your cardinal by roots of third root of unity. And, of course, they all come from the three torsion points on your curve. But of course, this is the part that's more interesting. You take translation by any point, and of course, it doesn't come from any projective automorphism. But it does come from Cremona. It does come from Cremona. So how to see this thing? Well, I'm erasing you think about this, because it's very easy. So what's the problem? So why automorphous group of your cubic curvatures as a variety doesn't extend. So your cubic is embedded in 2P2 by some line bundle. And this will be like O1. This is just intersection of a line with your cubic, and this gives you 3 points, such that A plus BC are on the line. But when you take the automorphous group, then the points will be translated, and they are not anymore on the line. So now you get a 3 point on your cubic, but now this 3 points will be like A prime, B prime, C prime are not collinear anymore. And this is the problem, because now if you want to embed it, if it wants it to be projective equivalent, this divisor class A prime plus B prime plus C prime must be linear equivalent to AB plus C, but it doesn't. So this means, and this exactly happens, this is a very collinear when this is just your translate but three torsion points, then it's okay. Okay? But if it's not three torsion points, your class of 3 points are not collinear anymore, so it's not projectively related, these two embeddings of this one. But what we do, just we take the Cremona transformation. So I take the conics which pass through these 3 points. So I take some conic, so K2, and intersect with my cubic, such that like it will be A prime plus B prime plus C prime plus A2 prime plus B prime plus C2 prime. So just I take the conic, pass through 3 points, and then it cuts out residually 3 more points, right? Okay. And then I do Cremona transformation. So what will be Cremona transformation? I take the linear system of conics which pass through these 3 points. Okay? So then just, so I take the linear system of all conics, basically, so just I take the linear system of all P2, 2 minus A2 prime minus B2 prime minus C2 prime. And you see just that by definition, if you now take embedding of your cubic by this linear system, preimage of a line will be two conics, two times line, right? This is a class of two lines, right? Minus this 3 points, right? So this will be exactly my class A prime plus B prime plus C prime, right? And now this embedding gives you a projective equivalent, right? Okay. So now just if I re-embed my cubic by Cremona transformation, so this will be projective equivalent to my original cubic, and of course I combine with projective automorphism to get my cubic back. Okay. So this works in fact not only for plane cubics, it works for all rational normal curves. So if you have a kind of elliptic curve of degree n in Pn, so this will be normal elliptic curves. The same argument works. So if you take automorphous group of elliptic normal curve, it all comes from the Cremona transformation in Pn. In fact, Cremona transformation, which generalized this simple one. And this example what's called standard quadratic transformation. So if you, I put these points in the, make them kind of, this is a conic passing through 3 points. Let's make the cardinal such one, first point will be just 1, 0, 0. Another point will be 0, 1. And this is 0, 0, 1. And then I want to write down all conics which pass through these 3 points. Of course, by changing cardinals, this is means I compose my Cremona with some projective automorphism. So there is a simple, for example, if I take x, so take, for example, x0, x1, x2, x0, x2, and x0, x1. Check, this is a three reducible conic, obviously pass through these 3 points, right? Okay. In fact, every conic which passes through these 3 points is a linear combination given by equation, which is a linear combination of these three monomials, right? It's kind of obvious, right? Okay. So I may even take this as a representative of my, give this kind of formula, so my transformation sends my point x0, x1, x2 to this point. And this is very special Cremona. This is just, if you, in affine cardinals, this is what it does, just if you take the affine cardinals, then just like x and y, it just reverses this cardinal. Okay, so this is called standard Cremona transformation. has very special property that if you combine it twice, it will be identical. So it's called standard Cremona transformation. And this way it generalizes to any projective space, to any dimension. So what you do is you take the standard simplex, take Pn, take these points with like same kind of points, right? You get n plus 1 points, and then you do the same kind of formulas, just you take all products unknown. This is what you see, product of all unknowns except the first one, right? This is the product of all unknowns except the second one, right? So this is completely generalizable to any dimension, and this is called standard Cremona transformation. So you take your elliptic curve, you pick up n plus 1 points, and just take your kind of automorphism, see where just the hyperplane section goes. It goes to some set of n plus 1 points. Then you take standard Cremona composed with projective transformation to make the points right, and then just this will be your projective automorphism. So this, so every automorphous group of normal elliptic curve or elliptic curve can be realized by Cremona transformation, by Cremona transformation in the ambient, space. Okay, so now let's go to, this is like supposed to be, so what are we? So let's go back to quartic surfaces. So let me just start with this kind of what I promised you, this example that just, this is really the whole beginning of the theory of these periods of K3 surfaces. This was Severian, who first gave example of K3 surfaces with rank of Picard lattice is equal to 2, it has infinite automorphous group. And so just an entry kind of raised this kind of question that just the automorphous group of a K3 surface really depends on the structure of neuron Severi lattice. Okay, so later on this was really theorem of Pitesky, Shapiro, and Shafarech, which made it really rigorous and made it kind of precise. Okay, but the first example of a Severi was a, you take a quartic surface, say smooth quartic surface, and P3, of course. But again, we know this fact, if you take generic quartic surface, then of course you expect that Picard number is equal to 1, and if Picard number is 1, there is no automorphism on the surface exists, so you have to put some special condition on this K3 surface, on this quartic surface. So what we do is we take a curve, so we take the Picard group, will be just, there will be two divisors here, represented by two curves. So I call them, say, H, and they say, eta, and the square of them will be equal to 4, and then they intersect at 6. So I assume that my Picard lattice is spanned by this two element, so this your quadratic form on this K3 surface will be like this. So this will be of rank 2. So how do you do it? Of course, you represent this H, of course, H squared to 4. It means just your H is just class of some curve, so which is a genus 3 curve. And of course, what you, if you imagine that H is your hyperplane section, so let's take, for example, theta. Yeah. And then just, of course, this fact, it means just degree of this curve is equal to 6, okay? So you take a quartic surface which contains a genus 3 curve of degree 6. So this is very easy to see. What is the degree 6 genus 3 curve? You take a canonical class, if you have, this is of degree 4, and you pick up two points, and take the linear system KC plus AB, and then the you have to assume that this is just, this is not, sorry, not two points, but just this is kind of, the class is equal to 2, but it's not effective. And then this is will be divided by linear series of degree 6, right? This is degree 2, this is degree 4. And this linear system maps your quartic, so just plain quartic, or just any curve from genus 3 to P3, and the image will be your sextic. Okay, so just you take this, there are plenty of the sextic. So what it means, you take a quartic surface which passes through the sextic. You embed your genus 3 curve as a degree 6 curve in P3, and look at this big linear system of quartics passing through this curve. You choose one with this kind of the This is automatically because it's quartic, right? H will be class of hyperplane section. And it's also because it contains this curve, you'll get this class. You'll pick up this class. And it'll take care of that nothing else. Kind of generically, if you take in this linear system generic quartic, it's guaranteed that nothing else. So your whole Picard group will be generated by two curves, hyperplane section and the sextic. Okay? So what do we do? Okay, so now this. So Severi showed that this is a K3 surface, like we know from the theory of Torelli theorem. We expect, since the rank is equal to 2, and it's easy to see that it doesn't have minus 2 curves. Look at its quadratic form, and you see, of course, it doesn't represent a minus 2 vector. Okay? So this K3 surface doesn't have any smooth rational curves. So by global Torelli theorem, you see the group must be infinite group, and it's really almost like orthogonal group of this of rank 2 lattice defined by this form. So it must be a kind of free group of rank 2. Okay, this is. So how you see automorphous group? You see, it's completely not obvious. So why, okay, of course, we know this result. It must be infinite automorphous group, but where they are? Okay. And what you do, just you take your curve theta and consider the linear system of, in fact, in the space. Or just let's do it on the K3. Let's take this linear system. So what it, of course, means, you take your cubic surfaces which pass through this curve of degree 6 of genus 3, right? And, of course, we do the usual stuff, right? So that you compute self-intersection, so this will be... I hope everything is all right. And this will be 6 times 6, right? And this gives you 4, right? Okay? So this class represents another divisor, genus 3 curve, of degree 4. And now just you, what you do just now, you take the, in the space, take the linear system 3, like of P3, 1. So, sorry. So this will be cubic in P3 minus this curve. So this curve is represented by this theta, like we see here, curve C. So what it means in this notation, that you take all hyperspaces of degree 3, which pass through your curve C, okay? And you see, this is what we call homaloidal linear system. This is defines the Fermionic transformations. This is defines Fermionic transformation. And they sense this after your composite and projective automorphism, it sends this quartic to itself. It sends this quartic to itself. And then just here, so this is gives you one automorphism, this involution in fact. You can make it an involution, so you get some kind of involution, which realized by this Cremona transformation. And you kind of take the other curve, this M prime, and exchange the roles and get another automorphous group. And we'll see the whole group will be generated by two elements of order 2, which gives you infinite group, which is a subgroup of finite index of this orthogonal group. So this is the kind of the first example. Yes, this is how you get automorphous group. Smooth surface, this smooth K3 surface, and which really realized by Cremona. Of course, it's easy to see how you get automorphous group of a singular K3 surface by using Cremona. So let's do this kind of, embed your K3 surface in P3 as a quartic, but it has a node. So let's now assume that your X4 sits in P3, but has a node. So it's ordinary node, an ordinary double point. X0. Of course, what you can do, just if this is kind of, I don't know how to picture this thing, right? So if this is your node, right? Yeah, maybe something like this, right? I don't know. You pass a line, right, through this node, and of course your line meets your quartic at 4 points, so it will meet you at these 2 points, right? And of course you get automorphism of K3 surface, right? Just projection from this node, it kind of switches these 2 points, okay? So this is 2 points will be in one orbit of this automorphous group. So of course, another, just because what I'm saying, complete reality. And I project from a double point, and this gives a degree 2 map to projective plane by rational map, right? But of course, on K3, everything is biregular if you go to minimum model, right? So you can extend it to biregular automorphism. So I get an involution. So every node defines an involution of K3-search. Of course, we know this fact. This is very easy. But it's not quite obvious why this involution is a restriction of Cremona transformation. Okay? So I say I can lift this involution to Barashan automorphism of the whole K3, but of course you pay the price. It's not by regular automorphism, it's Barashan automorphism, right? And what you do just is, of course, very classical thing what you do. So you pick up any point in your space, so any point from the space, not necessarily on my surface, okay? And you again pass the line through this point, and of course now it hits my K3 surface at two points. This will be my points like A and B on K3 on my cortex, right? This is points out. So this is general point. So it doesn't belong to the cortex. And now, of course, there's a classical construction of harmonically conjugate points, okay? So you look at this line, and then you find unique G1, G2-1, so the involution on P1, such that this is a, these are points I exchanged, but this point and this point, if this is X, and this will be TX, they're fixed points. So take P1 and take automorphism of P1, of course, so you take such that this will be one orbit. And under this, so this automorphism just exchanges this point. And these two points will be fixed. And this is uniquely defined. So for every point X, generically, for every point X, you will find unique point TX such that there exists an involution on P1, which can, this is one orbit. And this is two ramification points. And this is two ramification points. Okay? And so now this will be just Barashan, because sometimes it's not defined. It depends where you, if you take the scale, just maybe some problem. Or this, two points coincide. If this line is a tangent to my cortex surface, then you're in trouble, okay? Because you won't find this uniquely involution. But if your line generic, so it means point generic, you will be always will be able to find this TX, and this will be a Cremona transformation in three-dimensional space, which induces this as a projection involution. So, for example, now if your cortex has many nodes, so like in fact, generically, just two nodes is enough. You look at this two involution and they don't commute. You see just you write down the matrix which defines this as a transformation and they see just they don't commute. So you see that my K3 surface has infinite automorphism group. So in fact it's generated by two involutions which do not commute and this will be kind of infinite group. So more nodes you have, bigger automorphism group you have of your K3 surface, right? So this is an example how the nodes give rise to Cremona transformation. Let me give you another example. It's also very, very classical. And I'll use it later when we go to some special interesting cortex surfaces. So this is an example that suppose you have a line in P3, and you have a rational curve, so this will be gamma, which is a degree of this gamma is equal to n plus 1, and gamma intersect L at n points. No, it's, yeah, sometimes it does, but generically if you take two nodes, yeah, no, of course, yeah, absolutely, yeah. But generically, just this is they don't commute. Okay. So take a rational. So this will be a rational surface embedded. So everything in P3. So take a rational curve of degree m plus 1, which intersects L at m points. So just for example, you take another line, which is Q, to this original line. Right? They don't intersect at all if m is equal to 0. And then just you look at. So this kind of union of this two curves has this property that just you look at the secants. You look at the lines in P3 which intersect the union at two points. So of course you can do it in dishonest way, right? You pass the line through this point, right? And then of course it's intersect at two points. But of course all lines passing through this point is a plane in a variety of lines, right? So you have like a M planes. So the variety of all lines which intersect this at two points which consist of M planes. But they also show that it consists of another irreducible component. Will be surface in Grassmannian of lines. This is what we call congruence of type 1 N plus 1, I think. One N. Yeah, okay, when it's Q, it just ends it. No, 1 N plus 1. Okay. So what does it mean? So if you're able to reach the last chapter of Griffiths-Harris book, you know what it is. But I rarely met students or even postdocs who've done this. Okay. But if you did this kind of thing, if you read the whole book, then of course you know all this stuff. Okay, so this is means just if you just you take this is a surface and this is a four-dimensional quadric, this is a surface in this Grassmannian. And what means one means just if you take generic point in P3, it will be a unique line which intersect, which are contained in the surface. Surface parameterizes lines. And N plus one will be if you take generic plane, there will be N plus one lines in this plane which belong to the surface as a point in the surface, right? So this all set of lines which are sequence of this union of two curves consist of planes plus this congruence of all this stuff. So this means there will be generically if you pick up any point, kind of generic point in X, then I will be able to pass a unique line for this point which kind of hits this curve at two points. Okay? So it's kind of again example of this kind of varieties with just with this kind of property, for a generic point, there is only one secant of this variety, okay, the unique secant of this variety. Okay, but then we can do this kind of trick. We can do now Cremona transformation. This time I do the following thing. You give me point X, kind of generic point in P3. I find a unique secant of this union of two curves. And then I announce that my image under this Cremona transformation will be fourth point, such that these four points are harmonically conjugate. So this time I make these points fixed, and these points will be exchanged. I'll find the involution of this P1, for which these two points are fixed points, and these two points are exchanged under this involution. So somehow something like y squared is equal to x. I make 0 infinity fixed, right? And then now any two points will be just different by the sign, right? This will be my involution on P1, right? This will be involution on P1. And again, so you see, this will be your Cremona transformation P3. This will be Cremona transformation P3, which always related, for example, with two skew lines. Okay, this is kind of the most popular example. Of course, when it's two skew lines, of course, you all know this is just means the surface is a quadric, P1 cross P1. And of course, if I give you a generic point, right, I find the unique line, which is a kind of transversal, which intersects these two lines at one point. But this is kind of generalization of it. But now imagine that you have a quartic surface which contains this configuration. So and then you can see a lot of examples. So suppose you have a quartic which contains a line and contains another curve. For example, it contains two skew lines. Okay, plenty of examples like that. Of course, then you can really see that this is just Cremona transformation defines your automorphism of this quartic surface here because you pick up a point on the quartic, and then the kind of you take the fourth point, which is intersection. So this will be, it contains these two lines, and then just you take, pick up a point, and it will be the second point, which is really Cremona, and it's also on this quartic. You'll see that's always on the quartic, and this restricts the quartic as the involution. Again, it's base locus of this Cremona transformation is rather complicated. So this is kind of example of the, what classic called, example, I don't know why they call it, Argasian involution. So this is kind of Cremona involutions or Cremona involutions, which has this property that point just in the, if you start taking points on the same line, you get your output on the same line. You see, just it preserves the lines. It preserves the lines. So it's also a special case, so it's called the Jankier involution. It's automorphism, Barashan transformation of projective space, which preserves some family of rational curves. And this is kind of very special Cremona transformation. So I create automorphism of a K3 surface if I know that my K3 surface contains two lines. Okay, so now let me go and give you really beautiful examples of how you generate the whole group of K3 surface. Okay, I'll start here, just many times was mentioned, example of Kummer surface, because this is the most fascinating, the most classical quartic surface in projective space. So let's see. And the story, of course, is very old. And the main two principal contributors to this theory are sitting here in this room, so it will give me additional pleasure to mention this. So you take the Kummer surface, so I take X4 now in P3, the kind of classical cubic, this will be just with 16 norms. So this means you take the Jacobian variety of a curve of genus 2, and then take the theta divisor, symmetric theta divisor, and take the linear system 2 theta, which maps your Jacobian variety, 2 to 1, to P3, and the image will be your quartic. So just in this, you see that will be 16 nodes, which corresponds to torsion points here. And it also has 16 tropes. So this will be the planes which intersect your quartic along a conic, taking with multiplicity 2. And of course they form this beautiful configuration, which you also can find, of course, in Griffiths-Harris book. Okay, so this is just configuration of 16. When you resolve the 16 nodes, you get configuration of 16 lines and 16 smooth rational curves and another 16 rational curves. And this is kind of configuration which is a 16-6 configuration. It means for each node passes 6 of these types of rational curves, and on each trope you find 6 nodes. Okay, so there will be a conic which passes through 6 nodes. And this is a standard model of the Kummer surface. In fact, you can choose equation very symmetric if you just use this symmetry of P3, which comes from the invariant with respect to translation to torsion points, and also so then there is a you can put this equation in this form. So something like A x square t square plus y square z square, and similar things but obtained by permutation. Don't write other expression which is obtained by, and also just some kind of this thing y t plus zx, and again terms of the same kind. You can guess what will be r, right, just by permuting this point. And finally will be x, y, z, t. So just to choose this thing, just you have to choose some special configuration of a... Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah, right. So this is just to choose to such a model, you just need to choose some special combinatoric in the 16 things. This is a called a... Remind me, John. Yeah. This is called Hexat. Göppling Hexat. It's Göppling Hexat, of course. But I don't want to go into this. This is just related to this geometry of a vector space of dimension 4 over field of 2 elements with subtracted form. But so this is just equation. And of course, you can find explicitly the 60 nodes from these equations. And so this equation of Kummer surface. So what's the automorphic group of this quartic surface? Of course, we have this example of this projection from the nodes. You have 16 of them. And you see, we already explained, they all come from kimono. Okay? So, of course, there is a projective automorphism. They correspond to translations on Jacobian variety. Translation to torsion point. So this is easy. They are all projective automorphs. Of course, they are all kimono. So there is a what's called switch. So kimono, the Kummer surface has a beautiful property. If you take the dual surface in the sense of duality in a projective space, you take all planes which are tangent to your Kummer surface, you get a surface in the dual space which is isomorphic to itself because it has also 16 nodes because of the tropes. And it's unique. Okay, so you see just the surface is isomorphic to its dual, and this kind of isomorphism which realized by this going to the dual and going back by using isomorphism is called the switch. Okay, and I'll explain later. This is a little tricky, but this is also, believe me, this is also Cremona induced. This will be difficult for me to explain. This kind of goes too much. But just believe me, this is... And of course, this is a... There's also... If you put this equation in this form, there is what's called Hutchinson. I think this was already mentioned here. So it turns out, if you take the standard Cremona transformation, exactly you take the formula which I explained you, like reversing the coordinates, x goes 1 over x in affine coordinates, the surface is invariant with respect to this. So the standard Cremona transformation, x here, this is induced you, gives you Hutchinson of Cremona. So it's also checked. It's also induced by Cremona transformation. It's also induced by Cremona transformation. So it was a question, so there was a first was questioned by Klein whether this is enough. So whether projections and projective automorphism switch is the full generated automorphism group of a Kummer surface. And then Hutchinson found this new automorphism, which earlier he showed you have to add them. And now I think they believe that this is all. And then Jeong-hae Kim, which is here, he found an example of what's called new automorphism, which he showed that it's not doesn't belong to the group generated by this automorphism. So it's called new. And then Konda later proved that if you add to this automorphism group this Jeong, Kim's automorphism, then just this will get the full automorphism group of Kummer surface. So this is all under assumption of genericity. So you assume that your curve is generic. So this is kind of rank of Picard is equal to 17. Okay. And then the whole automorphism group of a Kummer surface, this is, I think, very nice story because it goes back to Klein and finished like 20 or 15 years ago. So we know now the whole description of automorphism group of a Kummer surface, generic Kummer surface, and this is generated. So the only thing what's left to show that I claim that the whole automorphism group of a Kummer surface is a restriction, every automorphism is a restriction of some Cremona. Okay, so all of them you get as a restriction of a Cremona automorphism of P3. So this is almost done, except it's a new automorphism. So the new automorphism, as I said, was described by some linear system. Introduced by some linear system of this type, it's really equal to 7H, which is a hyperplane section, and minus 4, some kind of curves, which form some called a Weber hexad. So they are blow-ups of these points, but some special 6 points which you have to choose which satisfy some combinatorial condition which is called Weber hexad 6 points. And this linear system realizes a new automorphism. So you have to show that in your P3 I can find a linear system of curves of surface of degree 7 which pass through this base points, which will be points, 6 points in P3, the six nodes, and this four means multiplicity will be 4. So it will be septic surface in P3, which has a multiple points of these 6 points. And then you take the linear system defined by this transformation and combine it with projective automorphism, it will give you this automorphism. It will give you automorphism. So how to do it? So how to find the what we call homaloidal. Homaloidal linear system is the one which defines the Cremona transformation. So how we find a homaloidal system of this type? Okay, well, this is also it's a very beautiful classical story. What you do just you take in P3 six points. And then consider the linear system of quadrics, which pass through these 6 points. So you found dimension. So all your quadrics in P3 depends on 9 parameters. And impose 6 conditions, so it's really P3, right? So it's 3-dimensional linear system, so you expect that it gives you map from P3, and it does map to P3, but this map is not 1-to-1. So this map is of degree 2. So this map of degree 2. And what you do, just you look what will be just here, will be some ramification surface, will be kind of closure of the points where this map ramifies, right? And here it will be, I call it K, and I'll see the reason why I call it K. This will be the branch locus, right? This will be the set of points, the images of the ramification points. And you find that this is just a quartic. It's called Weddell quartic. And it's not difficult to see, just you see then you get the ramification points when just there will be some premature hyperplane. So they will get in the Sweeney system quadratic cone. Okay, so this kind of Weddell surface describes the locus of quadrics passing through 6 points which acquire a node. And the locus of these nodes is exactly the surface, and it's very easy to make equation and see that it's a quartic. So it's Weddell quartic, and it has a double point, so check it, it has a six double points. Six double points. So of course this double points, P1, P6, so that's six double points. Okay, but let's look at this map. Look, if I take a line which joins 2 points, where does it go? So I'm dealing with a linear system of quadrics, right? Which all pass through this point and this point, right? If I restrict this quadric to this line, it doesn't intersect it anymore, right? So it means this line must be blown down to a point. Right? So every chord, every line which joins these 2 points, blown down 3 points. How many of them is, of course, 6 choose 2, right? 15. And, of course, they go to the point here, which was like small resolution, right? So this point must be singular on K. So, in fact, this is ordinary node. So you get now that K just has a 15 nodes. In fact, you also check that this is quartic, by the way. So it's easy to check that this will be quartic surface. It's kind of okay, so we need 16, right? To get our Kummer, right? Of course, this will be Kummer. Okay, where is the 16th point? We need something else to blow down, right? Come on. What's the other thing which is blown down? The 15 lights are obvious, right? There's one more. Okay. This time I think you didn't read the Harris book of algebraic geometry. Okay. So, okay, then it tells you that if you take 6 points in P3, there is a unique rational normal curve of degree 3. There is a unique twisted cubic for 6 points. Unique one, right? So if you take the twisted cubic for 6 points, right? It's a cubic, right? So intersect your quadric at 6 points. And now this point's already taken. All right? So there's nothing, no free point, and so this cubic is also... So just so this point, so it will be so now cubic to the point. And you found your 16 nodes, okay? So you can also find your tropes. So you can also find your tropes. So for example, if you blow up these points, this will be plane. So this will be plane when you blow up P3 at this point, right? And you see the image of this plane will be give you 6 planes here, okay? And there are other things here, just you'll take the plane through 3 points, this will be 6 choose 3. It's 20. But the issue is just if you take the 2 planes, will go to the same plane here. You have to divide by 2, it will be another 10. And this is your tropes. So you can, everything is accounted for, and this surface is a quartic surface, which is a Kummer surface. This quartic is a Kummer surface. But where is Cremona transformation? Now, of course, as soon as we have a double cover, right, there is a deck transformation, right? As soon as we have involution, there is a depth transformation. You take a point and this, assign to this point another point in the same orbit, right, of this information. And so this is exactly a transformation which defines you the new automorphism. So let's compute what will be, how why this is this transformation. So this, why is this transformation? So for this, what you do, just you take a plane, in P3, generic plane, and see where does it go under this map. Take generic plane and restrict your linear system of quadric to the plane. Remember, this map is given by quadrics, right? You take a plane, restrict to the quadric, and of course it goes to quartic. So you kind of, it misses all base points, right? So this will be kind of linear system of quadrics, restricted to the plane, so conics. And so this plane goes to the quartic. Right? But of course it's not invariant with respect to its involution. Right? So it's not invariant with respect to this depth transformation, right? So you take this kind of some quartic, say F, right? And take now if this map say like phi, preimage of this F. And now of course it contains as one component your plane, right? That's something else, right? But what does it, what is this residual thing? So preimage of a quadric is a this is a quartic. Preimage of a plane is a quadric for all these points, right? Preimage of the quartic will be curve of degree 8 if passes with multiplicity 4, right? It's like clear, right? Preimage of the plane will be 2h minus sum of this qi's, right? But preimage of the quartic will be 8h minus 4 something. And this is just one more h, right? One more plane, right? So the residual thing will be exactly surface of degree 7, which has multiple points at the 6 points, right? And so this is a distance automorphism really defines you the new automorphism of a Kummer surface. And the proof that the whole automorphism group of Kummer surface is just can be generated by Cremona transformations. Okay, so every automorphism is accounted for, every automorphism is, comes from Cremona. It's involution, right? You can make it involution, yeah. Yeah, all involutions, right, exactly, yeah. I don't know whether there is a kind of description of this group as really kind of generators and relations. No. Hmm? Yeah, this, but this is a different example, okay. Okay, so just let me just do this something like, because it's my other old love in Ricky service. Let me do this in Ricky service, since there are so many times they are mentioned here at this. Hmm? Yeah. This one?
But
this one is just does the job for the. No, Cremona already mentioned, yeah. Ah, but this is related to this. This generator can be rewritten in terms of this, a product of the other ones. Okay, so let me just go to Enrique's service, I think, yeah. So, of course, there's no model of Enrique's surface as a quartic. So what we can do, we just look at the K3 Kala. And again, if you take the generic Enrique's surface, there will be no quartic model of K3 Kala of Enrique's surface. But if you go to the subvariety of codimension 1, of Enrique's surface, which admit rational normal curves. So we assume it's kind of now just here S, Enrique's surface, which curve so we call nodal, which is admits a smooth rational curve. So generically, no Enrique's surface has this curve. And I assume it's kind of a generically this property. So this is really in terms of periods, this is what I think I mentioned. This is corresponds to this kind of devices corresponding to vectors of square minus 4 in the period description of this of the margin space of Enrique surfaces. So they're just really one depend on 9 parameters. And generically all of them can be obtained from the what's called the Cayley quartic symmetry. So this is a special quartic surface. This is a quartic. So this is K3 Kala. And this is a special quartic surface which has also 10 nodes. But not every quartic with 10 nodes qualifies to be called Cayley quartic symmetry. So the equation of the surface can be given by the determinant. If you take the determinant of linear forms in 4 variables and set up this is 4x4 determinant, then this will be equation of your surface. So this is why it's called, one of the reasons why it's called symmetroid. Okay, so every such quartic surface, which is a determinant of a 4x4 matrix of symmetric matrix, Aij is equal to AJ. So if you take the symmetric matrix, you'll get a quartic surface. And you see it's 10 nodes, they correspond to, when you plug in the point, of course you have quadratic form, like in four variables. Okay, so this gives you quadric in P3, but there will be 10 points which give you quadric, which is a reducible quadric. It's union of two planes. And this is a quartic set. So it's a very famous quartic symmetroid, by the way. It was used by Artin and Mumford in the first counter example to Lurid problem. They considered double plane of P3 ramified along this quartic symmetroid. It proved this is a non-rational but unirational threefold after you resolve it. Okay, so it's really, of course, it's the whole classical literature is full of this geometry of this surface. So this is a K3 surface of a cover of Enrique surface. So I want to see that the whole automorphous group of this K3 cover of Enrique surface, which really comes from Cremona transformation. And so you can say that kind of generically nodal Enrique surface automorphous group is really generated by Cremona transformation. They all will commute with the Kummer, the K3 involution, 6.3 involution. All in descent to Enrique surface, Enrique automorphous group and Enrique surface will be all generated by this Cremona transformation P3. Okay. So in fact, this is of course also not new. It was really proven by Kobo and something like this, 1917. So, and then he showed this whole automorphous group of this Cayley symmetroid is generated by three types of transformation. So they call, he called them the counter-involution, Bertini-involution, and Geyser-involution. But this is all kind of delayed. So you probably heard these names in theory of Delpech surfaces, but this is kind of extension of these involutions to three-dimensional space. And of course, there is also, of course, Enrique's involution. So we have to show that all of them on these involutions really come from Cremona transformation. And then by Kobol result, this is the whole automorphous group of the symmetroid. Okay. So I don't have time, I only have 5 minutes left. I don't have time to really explain this really again. Very beautiful, but it takes some time to explain. But I'll tell you just something like a theory formally. Okay, I'll give you the counter Bertini and Geyser in the following way. So you all probably seen here the Picard lattice of Enrique surface. And of course, this is a A plus U, so I belong to the school which uses U instead of H. And then it can be written by Dynkin diagram. So this is an E10 diagram. But we need a little other diagram because we will be working with Cremona transformation in P3. So in P3 you have 10 nodes of the symmetroid. So if you write down the Picard lattice of a blow up of the 10 points in P3 in some natural basis, you'll get this diagram. And this must be 10 points now. Right. So this can 2, 4, 6 diagram. Okay. So this is just diagram describes your really Picard group of the, in fact, of this Cayley quartic symmetroid. So this is just this diagram. So the three types of embedding here, the finite root system of type E7 or E8. Just look at this and see how we embed E8 here. Look at this diagram, right? And you want to embed into this diagram E8. For example, you take this, right? And you take this, right? No. Okay, 2, 5. Right, okay? But in the E8 diagram, if you take the Y group of E8 group, so just there is a center. There is a center element of order 2. Okay? So this is just so you see how that X here, and so this element will be, this will be the Bertini involution. So this Cremona transformation by acting on the blow up of 10 points can make this kind of action on the Picard group of the blow up, which corresponds to this automorphism. It's kind of -1 on here and identity on the orthogonal complement. Okay, an identity on the orthogonal complement. So there is a other way to do it. So just you can really also embed E7 here in two different ways, right? You can embed E7 like this, right? There. It must be four. No, no, it's a different diagram. It must be 10 points. Altogether it's 10, right? 5? No, it's right. For points in P3, it's right. It's not a Henrique's diagram. Because it has this.
Taylor. Okay, this is probably a sign that I have to stop, right?
Okay, so this will be, and there is one more way to embed this C7. I think this is, you cut out 2 points here, and just you just take this diagram. And so this is, one of them corresponds to counter, and one of them corresponds to Geiser involution. So there are kind of three special Cremona transformation, which kind of gives this kind of effect on the blow up of 10 points in P3, and you blow up the nodes. And you show that all of them come from Cremona transformations. So, and then the, so all of these involutions are realized by Cremona and the whole automorphous group. So there's some kind of the group of automorphs of a generic Henrique surface which admits a smooth rational curve. It's also called, by the way, in Griffiths-Harris, Ray congruence. So every automorphic group of generic Ray congruence is induced by Cremona transformation in P3, which acts on this Cayley symmetry. Okay, thank you very much. Was I late for 10 minutes? Was I late?
Yeah.
Why not? I didn't realize it's less than 1 hour. Okay, you should tell me again. Keep, oh, sorry, thank you. What was the achievement of Kuhn? He found the new automorphism. Okay.